Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie. Thank you so much, BBS Radio, for all that you do for us on Sunday afternoons. We are so grateful. And it's so great to be with you on the playground this week. There has been a lot to think about this week, right? Don't you think? We are starting to hear the word surrender a lot nowadays, right? Have you noticed? And we hear that word when folks talk about surrendering to God and to God's will, and it's not our will, but Father, you know, your will be done. And then there's divine will, and then there's free will mixed in somewhere, and we want to do what God wants us to do, right? Because, you know, we're not sure why exactly, but it's also very scary if maybe we don't, and we don't do things the right way, and, you know, we're here navigating this human journey, and we're making decisions about it, and it's a scary thing when, you know, we're not so sure what that should look like, right? You know, and how do we live a life that's not our own if the will belongs to a God somewhere and communication is uncertain at times and there's so much to learn and it's so confusing and, you know, we don't want to do this spiritual thing wrong. So maybe before we get frustrated, we can sit back and relax a little bit. And if we're wondering what all this stuff means, well, me too, right? Me too. And maybe we can talk about it if you want to. And I sort of want to start with a question. And, you know, the question is, what is there to lose in getting our answers wrong? I think about that a lot. You know, what is there to lose if we get this wrong? And is there such a thing as getting it wrong? And is everything we do right because it's what we choose to do? And even if it feels wrong later, so maybe we can think ourselves into circles this afternoon if we aren't careful. But it's a question coming out of my profession for some years that carries a great deal of human weight and, you know, maybe not so much eternal weight when we think about project out into what is eternal. Perhaps the question is not as important, but I used to facilitate conflict mediation between parties who were experiencing conflict together and helping them engage a difficult conversation was rarely easy. The energy around conflict is tangible. And what we'll notice is two people who have an energetic history or experience together, that energy is so very real and tangible in the room. And it's something of a force to deal with just in and of itself. And changing that energy and that dynamic, it's very difficult between people who experience it so palpably, you know, between each other. And difficult conversations are really as much about the unspoken flow of energies as really as the words that we use. And helping folks become open and vulnerable is, it can be a real challenge. And, nobody wants to surrender control, right? When they feel oppressed or manipulated or undermined or any number of things. And it's a long haul to resolution in many cases if there's no reason to move forward, right? There's no motivation there. And what I realized is, in more situations than I would have wished for, it's a real luxury in a conversation where there's nothing to lose. Someone in that conflict is experiencing a real luxury, and sometimes it is, to the detriment of the other person they are in conflict with. And humans don't really tend to have those kinds of conversations very often because the very first rule to a difficult conversation is accepting that, there is something to lose. That creates the nature of a difficult conversation as we are going in honestly and authentically with something that we could lose. And deciding otherwise is something of a red flag, right? Just from the get-go, deciding there's nothing to lose, that's a different animal altogether. And generally, the person with nothing to lose has probably already calculated, all the potential loss and decided that the loss is acceptable. And, nothing difficult about that, right? And so, why am I bringing all of this up? Well, it kind of came in with the idea of surrender. We're thinking about this idea of surrender, we're hearing an awful lot about it. A word being used a lot in spiritual circles lately, especially. And the funny thing is, the very last person on a planet of people who would use that S word, really, the word surrender, is Christ. I'm sorry to say. I'm so sorry to say. He just was not going to go around telling brainwashed people of the day to surrender to a Godhead. That just was not the nature of his message. It's what got everybody in the mess they were in then, 2,000 years ago, and in now, honestly, when you think about it. Christ was not going to go around telling anybody to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. Right? Especially. And I think about that, and he would never have suggested a master over the mastery of the self in each and every one of us. That just was not the message, friends. And when we talk about spiritual surrender, creating a master over the mastery of the self is just not the intention of anything Christ ever had to say. We're talking about it from the standpoint of having something to lose here. And Christ had a very empowered, enlightened vantage point, right? But he did have something to lose. And we're talking about a difficult conversation where hearts have to decide to risk vulnerability and to reach out with trust in this thing we call spiritual surrender. And I'm wondering if that makes any sense as you're listening. It is the step that our spirit relies on to position us into affirmative action of integrating energy into a physical body. Okay? That is the nature of spiritual surrender. Okay? That is a message of Christos energies, the Christs as they walked in ages past and communicated this need to surrender to spirit. It's not about surrendering to a God, friends. It's not about surrendering to a God, to the spirit that would come home to an energetically inviting body. Right? That's the spiritual surrender we're talking about. Right? The spirit that comes along with that effort as a flow of source within the body. Right? It's the mechanics of our health and our healing and our balance and peace and our purpose. This is the balance, right? The surrender to the balance of who we are spiritually in a physical body. And I think about it, and you know, Christ's surrender was to the mission of the Spirit. It was an energetic action plan, friends, right? An energetic focus. And that happens when we surrender the ego to the heart and we surrender the body to the Spirit that wants to come in and engage us and to navigate this flow of source all around us and everything that we do and think and feel. And we like to think of God as an old man with a beard who lovingly guides us, right? And I wouldn't take that away from anybody. In fact, it's kind of hard for me to put those words together because I don't want to offend anyone. And yet the flow of our lives can be so intense sometimes if we're not anchored to our own Christos energies and if somehow we are busy giving them away to what we conceive of as necessary surrenders of the heart to something outside of ourselves. And we can feel victimized by a God we love that way. It's why surrender is so often misused and misconstrued by well-meaning people who talk about it, you know, who talk about giving up control and letting go. And folks talk about surrendering to source, you know, to God, to God's will in our lives. And I'm just wondering if it would be offending if I offered an additional view to that idea, you know, just as something to think about. And you remember when I mentioned every difficult conversation really being at its core about two people having something to lose and the negotiation of those potential losses, you know, either bringing people closer together or tearing them apart. And I mentioned something about Christ having something to lose, and in fact, he did. He had something to lose in virtually every conversation he ever had about spiritual truths. And, you know, he was a master at difficult conversations because they were all tinged with danger in many ways. And he had hearts to win and to win over against a very difficult backdrop of, you know, infiltrating antagonisms of many, many kinds. And so, you know, I conceive of surrender as not about giving in to higher powers to control your life. You know, it's not. Christ did not teach that ever. Not even the Bible says that Christ used that word surrender because he didn't. His kind of surrender is getting out of our own way, friends. It's not about giving in to higher powers to control our lives. That just is not a part of his message. And so you can move forward and take action in your own remembrance of who you are and how you must use your spiritual energies to balance your life force in this physical reality. And that creates a great deal of surrender. Right? In a normalized, highly infiltrated human existence, there is a great deal of trust and surrender there. It's just not to a God outside yourselves, friends. It's to the God on the inside and the flow of that beautiful creator coming in and guiding from within there. In ways that you engage it and enable it and infuse it with who you are spiritually. Right? And when I think about it, I think the only reference really to surrender biblically was in the end of recorded life for Christ in the Bible. When he said something like, Father, into your hands I surrender myself. I surrender my spirit. And that's a painful thing. And maybe there are a few difficult ideas to share together, friends. And I'll just tell you one thing right away. You just aren't going to hear me talking about the crucifixion of Christ. You're just not going to hear that as part of our conversation. And at the same time, the surrender described by the Bible here in that particular verse, in that scene that is highlighted everywhere by any number of people, it's just not the surrender that Christ described in his teachings. That kind of surrender is not the same. It's not the same word. It's not the same meaning. It's not the same intention, friends. It's not the same. So please let's don't confuse our orientation to this particular part of the Bible as the intention of defining the kind of surrender that Christ ever talked about. It's not the same word, not the same meaning, not the same intention. Christ focused on a teaching about surrendering that was dynamic and intentional and integrative, right? And nothing at all like giving oneself away to a flow of spiritual energy that would sweep us away at its whim, right? Nothing like praying to a God who would control us in a way that our own sovereign choices wouldn't. And surrender for Christ was a dedicated commitment to undertake a life of service to truth, truth to the one flow, to the one that was our creation energy, to changing the hearts of man without looking back, right? It was a clarion call. It was a call to action. It was reclaiming the spirit into the body and proving its essence with the good work of sharing the way of it. It was what we're talking about as the mission of Christ, well, part of it. And we can see that in some ways in texts that aren't driven by biblical teachings, like in the book of Thomas, for example, when Christ is recorded to have said, "The kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth." And men do not see it. And that, friends, is the whole mission. It's what we surrender to every time we entrust ourselves with guidance to offer a teaching that might change the hearts of men. Right? And Christ used the invisible as a metaphor quite a lot. And it allowed some conceptualization of what many folks really couldn't understand on an energetic level. And he would talk about kingdoms in the sky and kingdoms of the Father to get folks to reorient their spiritual focus in a way, to reorient their physical experience here on earth because the work was here while we're alive. I mean, that's the good work, friends. We're not storing anything up after death. There's just nothing to wait for, friends. There's nothing to wait for. Our good work is the surrender of a lifetime that is here in this physicality. It is an action plan. It is a clarion call. We are in a body, and our efforts need to be in the here and now, within this body. This physical body translates the energetics that will fill universes of light that is ascending. That is our good work. It is our reality to hold that light in a body, to encapsulate it, to combine it in a flow, in a field that is used by many, many, many beautiful spirits for the good work of re-energizing and reintegrating the ascension of all that we know. That is our reality. That is our surrender. It is the surrender of bringing spirit into the physical realm. This here and now, that is what we are surrendering to. There is no God apart from us who wants our surrender, friends. And our relationship to our spirit is through this body. And that's where the Creator is. That is where the One enters us and flows through us. And I know it's hard to explain, but the fight is really for a unified energetics, friends, a force that reconstitutes universes of universes through us. We are rebuilding a balance from layered fields of destruction. And that sounds so very heavy, I know, and caustic, perhaps. But Christ did not talk about surrender as a big tent idea. He didn't go out into the public and tell folks to surrender themselves. But religion has harnessed a power over ideas of submission. We know this well. And it has made fodder for the masses. And the problem is that biblical scholars wasted no time capitalizing on the word surrender as synonymous with submission and obedience to a source God. And that idea is just completely antithetical to everything Christ taught. I am so sorry to say, friends, please, please, please don't let me dissuade you from listening. Please don't let me offend. But that idea of surrender is a false analogy on so many levels and a crummy wordplay. Christ needed people to stand in their own power as energetic witnesses to the truths about spiritual awakening. He didn't need people who would give up their duty to invest in their own spiritual growth and their own empowerment. He didn't need people sitting down and surrendering to a God external to themselves. That was already happening in the religions across the planet. There were too many forces fighting enlightenment in the day to ever instruct crowds of people to submit to be obedient to a God. That was already the religious paradigm of the day. It was a done deal. It was already embedded in society to fear a God and submit to his jealous authority or be doomed to a hell in an afterlife. But nowhere in the Bible, nowhere, will you find Christ telling crowds to surrender to God. Nowhere, friends. Nowhere. The only message of surrender Christ gave was a call to action. If anyone would follow me, pick up your stake and be guided by me. Pick yourselves up. Move yourselves away from what you call home. Be determined in your movement forward not to look back and be guided by what I am telling you. Right? In other words, let's go. We've got work to do. Surrender everything that is not your passion for spiritual awakening. Don't surrender to God and sit down. No, surrender to the journey of teaching a world about its true spiritual identity. Right? Surrender to trusting a new kind of knowing. Surrender to taking the risk of moving away from the paradigms of the day. Surrender your suspicions. Surrender your doubts. Surrender your traditions, your expectations, your hesitation, your excuses. Surrender your fears. Let's do this. That's what he said. That's what he's saying now. Surrender to your spirit's return to an energetic body. That is a great work toward the rebalancing of a cosmos. And be bound to unify body and spirit and surrender to the meditations of remembering who you are. And so, I'm feeling a little dramatic, I suppose, right now and all of that. And I'm wondering if that was a lot to take in, friends. And I don't want to sound like too much. And I don't want to offend, for sure. But I can tell you that Christ was a lot of things. He is now. Passive was not one of them, okay? He would not anchor his Father's energies to a humanity that he would call into more submission. He would not do that. He has not done that now. And if you do not see it, you will see. His intentions are clear. It is a great misnomer of language to have devastated a planet's awakening by prescribing capitulation and submission to surrender to a humanity desperately needing the courage to wake up and get up and liberate. Surrender and sovereignty are not pleasant bedfellows, friends. It's very hard to do one and to do the other. In this confusing time and a physical experience here, as humanity is trying so very, very hard in our efforts to ascend ourselves. And whatever you might call that, and however you might define it. Please only take what makes sense to you and forgive me for the rest, if you will. It's been in my heart for a while and on my mind. And things keep pushing me. Things keep pushing me to say what I dare not. I know better. I know better than to cross that line in the sand. So please forgive me. And in a way, many of you are actually finding your way here for comfort. And I hope also that you find it. And if you do, that you're realizing your beautiful gifts of teaching and of sharing truths about human awakening that perhaps others may not understand. And I hope you take courage in your journey, friends. That topic was something of a difficult conversation for me. People I truly love use a different lexicon than I do, and they remember things differently than I do, and they share things at a different energy than I do, and they know more than I do in so many ways, and I look to them for guidance, and my spirit tells me something different, and so many times it's a fearful navigation. But we're always in jeopardy of losing the trust of beautiful hearts when ideas sound a little shocking and provocative, and Please forgive me if I am in jeopardy of losing your heart, friend, with something that I might suggest. And, you know, I have just the thing to change the subject. I'm wondering if we want to turn our attention to a little bit of play together. That is, after all, the very, very best part of our time together. I know I love it, and I hope that you do as well. And, you know, we need it after all, don't we? After a week, maybe a rough week, or a week that wears us out or makes us tired or takes our play away. I mean, a little bit of play together on a Sunday afternoon isn't a bad thing. So let's do a little expressive play. You want to? We generally like to get our notebooks out, and we like to get pens and paper or something to write with and something to write on, and it's what we like to do on a Sunday afternoon. But today I'm going to suggest something just a little different, if you're willing to go along. But before I do, I just want to share that maybe it's important for us to be very careful about thinking that we can't play anymore, and thinking that we might be too adult or too old or too busy, or that we can't daydream anymore, or that we can't be silly, or we can't laugh or do those things that we love to do so much as children. You know, those things keep us in our hearts, right? And I'm wondering how many of us have had fairly forceful energy sweeping through this week. I know I have. Have we been a little emotional? Have we been feeling shifts under our feet, so to speak? You know, are we feeling a little beat up this week? Ouch, right? Maybe a little bit of ouchy this week, right? It's scary when, you know, when we build relationships and they shift under us, isn't it? Or maybe we shift. And it's not comfortable when we begin to redefine what matters, is it? And we have to offer ourselves grace and those we love grace and understanding. And so let's cure some of that, maybe. You want to? Let's do something that is very, very fun. And I hope it will be a joy for you. This is what I call making a sunshine box. Making a sunshine box. Maybe you have heard of it. Let's make our own sunshine box today. You want to? Let's fill it with things that we love. Right? It is a sunshine box after all. And let's fill it with a little color. So we usually use our notebooks, but today let's just relax, right? And let's do a little mental work, okay? A little mental work. Let's mentally fill our sunshine box today with wonderful things as we go along. You want to? So let's sit back and relax a little bit together. Take in a deep breath, right? Get ourselves relaxed. We're not going anywhere outside of our bodies, okay? We're just going to imagine our sunshine box sitting next to us, right? Maybe sitting on the table next to us, or sitting in our laps as we stay in our bodies, right? We are daydreaming inside our bodies. We don't have to go anywhere, right? We're going to daydream about this beautiful sunshine box that we're creating together. And let's imagine what our sunshine box looks like, okay? What's the shape of our sunshine box? What's the shape of our sunshine box? And what's the size of our box, right? As we're sitting with this beautiful box unfolding mentally, as we daydream about this peculiar, beautiful, interesting box that we're creating. Can we see it? Can we See this beautiful box, and we can make it as fancy as we want to, right? So let's put a top onto this box. Okay, let's put a top onto this box. Do you see the top? And as we're visualizing our box, let's paint this box purple. Okay? A deep indigo, bluish purple. Okay, are we painting this beautiful box an indigo bluish purple? Do you see that? Do you see your beautiful indigo purple box as it's sitting there? Let's touch the top of the box. It's so calming, isn't it? This beautiful box, this indigo purple box. And stress is leaving our hands as we're touching this box, right? And we're touching the top of our box, and we're feeling really calm with our box, aren't we? So let's open this sunshine box and put some things inside. You want to? So let's take the top off, and let's look down into the box. And on the very bottom of this box is the deepest, darkest green grass that we've ever seen. And it's lining the bottom of our beautiful box. That nice, beautiful green grass, do you see it? And the grass is so healing and balancing, isn't it? And it's so thick and full. And we can feel the harmony of having grass inside of our beautiful sunshine box. I mean, we are making a sunshine box, right? And it has grass in it. So, what can we put into the grass? What can we put into the grass, friends? Let's put a flower growing inside the box. You want to? Do you see the flower? And you know what? It's your favorite flower. What about that? Your favorite flower is growing inside your beautiful box. So let's take a minute and daydream our favorite flower there inside the box. And let's ask ourselves, why is this flower our favorite flower? And does it smell good? And does it have beautiful blossoms to it and nice leaves? What does our flower look like? Now, let's add some sunshine. We have to add some sunshine to our sunshine box, don't we? So let's think about this. What is something we can put into the box that feels like sunshine? What is something we can put into our box that feels like sunshine, that reminds us of sunshine? Imagine something that you can hold in your hand that feels like sunshine, and let's put that into our box. What is it that reminds us of sunshine, of a sunny day, or of a warm feeling, or a bright moment, maybe? Let's add that beautiful sunshiny thing right into the box there. And it can be anything we want as we daydream about this beautiful box that helps us feel so good. And so, how does our box make us feel right now? Are we calm like our indigo box? Are we feeling more balanced, right, and harmonious from the green grass that's at the bottom? Our beautiful box with a garden inside, maybe? And are we feeling positivity after putting our sunshine item into the box? Are these things that are coming to us and flowing through us now as we sit with this beautiful sunshine box? Do we notice the way certain colors are making us feel?
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on PBSRadio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.